The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
On today's show, we're talking with Byron Cruz. He was one of our guests in the first week of our program when we launched at the very beginning of the pandemic last March 2020. And he is an organizer with Sanctuary Health Coalition, as well as a nurse with Watari Health Center in the downtown East Side. Welcome back to The Pulse on CFRO, Byron. Great to have you here.
Thank you for your invitation, Larry.
Did you know that you were actually one of the very first guests when we first launched at the beginning of the pandemic? When we first had the pandemic, you talked about the vulnerabilities of the migrant workers to infection, and how worried you were. Can you remember those days, those early days?
Yes, I remember those days, David. And yes, I think I was also referring to migrant workers from the different sectors, migrant agriculture, migrant workers, but also undocumented workers. And yeah, at that time, at the beginning of the pandemic, yeah, I remember well that we were talking about how it was affecting the community at the beginning, because there was no support from the federal government, no support from the provincial government. And at the beginning, we were getting all these phone calls from migrant workers asking for support. At the beginning, we also had lots of undocumented workers who lost their jobs at the beginning. And I remember also that the first priority for us as a group was to respond to the immediate need that they had. And at that time, the immediate need was food. And we had to come up with as a sanctuary health and also as a small grassroots groups. We came together and we said, okay, let's respond to this immediate need. It was food. And at that time, we started to deliver food to Latino families, Latino workers, and Filipino workers. And we had almost 150 families that we were delivering every week, actually.
Some of the earliest outbreaks that were not in seniors' homes were actually on farms, where people were crammed together. Let's hear a clip from our April 3rd show last year.
That makes people being more vulnerable. And also with all this crisis in the farms as well, because we have farm workers also as well coming and being exposed to infections. And a few days ago, they had the first infection of the virus in Kelowna. At the beginning, we thought that the health authorities were going to take some immediate precautions. And it's really sad to see that it has spread so much, right? The point that yesterday they reported 19 cases.
We knew there were several farms that did have COVID.
Thank you. And that time I mentioned that in Ontario, there were almost 1,500 agricultural migrant workers who were infected with COVID, and three workers who died as a result of COVID last year. And then in British Columbia this year, we had a few farms that were affected, and the workers were really afraid of getting support, getting help, because they didn't know what the reaction was going to be from the farm.
And why are they so afraid?
It is very difficult because, first of all, they were afraid, right? We know by fact that getting sick on the farm might be a reason not to be asked to come for the next season, right? Then they say, well, if I get sick, they are not going to call me next time. This is the main fear that workers have. And I understand why that's happening. That's real, right? And we knew that last year also there were workers who were repatriated to Mexico as a result of complaining, right? We had also a worker that was repatriated to Guatemala who was still sick with COVID. Actually, they didn't support him at the farm when he was complaining that he was feeling sick. He was repatriated to Guatemala. When he arrived to Guatemala, he asked for a test, and he was COVID. He was his result was that he had COVID.
So he got COVID from being in Canada, and we sent him away to a country that doesn't have as good a healthcare system.
Yes, that's right.
There was workers in Ontario, I heard, who had been deported from the country for raising alarms about COVID, and in fact, seeing their coworkers dying in their beds without getting help.
Oh yeah, we have many complaints from Ontario. There is what they call blacklisting of workers who complained last year, and they are not bringing back this year. And it's difficult to follow up on those. And actually, in terms of the Guatemalan workers, thanks to this Guatemalan worker that was very brave, we were able to follow up on one of the farms. And then we made some connections with Fraser Health. Fraser Health decided to test 4 or 5 farms at the end of last year. And there were all of these farms that we connected Fraser Health with had active cases of COVID. That is the concern right now, because despite that people are coming to British Columbia and they stay in the hotels for 14 days, and they are having the quarantine at the hotels near the airport, and then they are transferred to the farms. But how safe is that when we knew that there were farms who had active cases at the end of last year? And also there are other farms that have worker active cases right now.
So they could do their quarantine in the hotel and then immediately get COVID the day later.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I don't see any sense, right? And I still don't see a level of communication between health authorities in terms of the health authorities conducting the inspections well, they conduct inspections, but there is a need of better communication. There is in the way that if there is a farm who has this infection, they're supposed to notify the Vancouver Health Authority and let them know that it's not time yet to send the workers to these specific farms, right? But there is no communication. We know that this Center for Disease Control is behind on this. They don't have the expertise to deal with migrant workers, and they don't understand. We keep telling them, you need to understand that there is a need for communication and more support for migrant workers.
So many migrant workers don't just work in farms, but in food service, food preparation, factories, food processing plants, meat processing plants.
He has been very affected by COVID, and because despite of the federal government, for example, creating protocols and guidelines, these guidelines have not been followed up. And in terms of the agricultural migrant workers, we know that if they work in a packing area, the distance has not been, the protocols that talk about keeping the distance in packing areas, also of using personal protection equipment. But workers are not, they don't have they are not given the personal protection equipment by the employer, or the employer do not provide the necessary education about the protocols. And then in terms of other migrants from other sectors, also the same thing. The employers are not following protocols. And it's also difficult for a migrant worker who knows that there is going to be a difficulty in terms of accessing health services if they get sick. They might not say anything at the beginning because they feel that there is going to be consequences. A few weeks ago, a migrant worker went to test. Actually, they called me because they needed to be tested. And they asked me, which clinic should I go? Then it's difficult for me to advise which clinic or where to go, because if you go to the Vancouver Community College, guess who is at the entrance of the testing site?
The police.
Vancouver Police Department, yeah. And this is the Vancouver Police Department is very well known by cooperating with Canada Borders. Then people are afraid of coming near these places. Then I advise this time the worker to go to a clinic that has access without fear principles. And despite of that, the family called me later and said, Byron, if he gets a positive, are they going to arrest him at the clinic? I said, no, they are not. Don't worry. First of all, this clinic has sanctuary principles, and secondly, they're supposed to keep this confidentiality.
But there's a lot of fear, it sounds like, a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty about what people's rights are.
Yes, that's right. And then this family was terrified. They said, oh, what would do we do if he's positive and he gets arrested? And with a lot of, I understand why, because in the last 2 or 3 months also, CBSA has been conducting a lot of detentions, and they go to the homes of families day and night, and they leave messages to families, and sometimes like trying to be friendly and say, oh, for the well-being of your child, you should present yourself, because we are waiting for you. And then, oh my goodness, I say, how people can live with this fear all the time? It's terrifying. I can understand their feeling, definitely.
For months and months last year, Byron, people asked the prime minister and federal government, what are you going to do about the COVID dangers for farm workers and for undocumented workers and for refugees? Has the federal government done anything about this?
No. We have been working so hard with the Migrant Rights Network, providing the federal government with a plan, with a proposed plan for responding to this. But so far, no. We don't have any response from the federal government in terms of making it accessible for migrant workers to get support, federal support. We haven't had any answer from them. And instead of that, we have had like more questions, right? Like right now, in terms of the COVID vaccine, in the last few weeks, we have been talking to the government and asking them, you should make this vaccine available for everyone, regardless of immigration status. And we need the federal government to come forward and talk to the provinces about making this a priority, right?
The people who are most vulnerable to COVID-19 are people who are often in low-wage, highly migrant sectors like home care, farming, food production. Our approach in Canada has never been to give vaccines priority to essential workers who are on the front lines of food production.
No. No, despite of the government knowing that, they haven't taken this approach. And I had a conversation with Fraser Health recently, and Fraser Health is bringing this forward to the provincial government, asking the provincial government to make important steps towards starting vaccinating migrant workers. We are expecting some news very soon about starting to do that. There are hundreds of migrant workers in quarantine at the hotels. Why not to provide the vaccination right away when they are there, right? Then we will prevent a lot of cases on the farms. And also, with the coordination with the unions and with the grassroots groups, we easily can conduct plans to vaccinate people on the farms. And I'm sure that many of the farm owners will also be happy about that, right? And also, I'm sure that many caregivers, healthcare workers will be benefit from this step. And we are still waiting for that. The different groups wrote letters to the provincial governments. Rama in Kelowna sent a letter a couple weeks ago asking for the same thing, for the availability of the vaccine. And we will see, because we have still fears, right? If people have fears of going for a COVID test, people might have also fears of going for COVID vaccine, because the barriers persist, right? And it's very scary. I got COVID in December.
You had COVID? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was terrible. And then fortunately we can go to a hospital, or we can ask for help. And we didn't need to go to the hospital. Unfortunately, our community was so supportive. They brought us food, and they left the food at the garden and things like that. But most people don't have that possibility. And at the end of last year, when we conducted a survey to our community network, 25% of our community network had already being infected with COVID.
I hope that you and your family have fully recovered. I know some people can have symptoms longer.
Yeah, I still have some dry cough, but many people in the community have like long-term consequences of this. And what we are doing right now at the community level is that we have created a support system. Last year, we created the full support system where we were supporting 150 families. That is still going on. We are prioritizing on those families that have COVID, and one of the members have COVID, for example. We prioritize them, and last month that in coordination with Guattari, we created the solidarity kit. That it's a kit that has the support that people with COVID need when they are at home. And because we know that they have a lot of problems. When I was sick, I was trying to call 811.
That's the nurse's helpline.
Yes, it was useless because it's so hard to access language or culture information, right? And the language that you want.
And you are actually a nurse. Like, you, this is your training. You know how these systems work.
Yes, and it's so hard. And I imagine people, there was another family who called the 811, and and then they said, no, you should call 911. And then they call 911 and the police arrived.
Wow, that's really terrible. Byron, I wanted to ask you, what have you learned in this year? What's the big lesson for you?
The big lesson for me is that the solutions have to come from the community. And as a community, we have learned a lot during the last year that solidarity is our principles, and that if we don't support each other, we cannot wait for the government to support us. We keep our demands, and my lesson is that it doesn't matter how many superficial measures the government takes. If the government doesn't accept to go through a reform to the immigration system in order to provide the possibility of people to have an immigration status, things will continue being the same thing. Then we are still demanding permanent residence for everyone, and the right for permanent residence upon arrival as well. That's one of our demands. Mm. And it's really, really like today, just a few hours ago, we also created a GoFundMe because one of the coordinator of our community network, she has lost her parents in Mexico and with COVID as well. And that is the other part, right? Like families here are presently not only going through the COVID problem here in British Columbia or Canada, but also losing their families. Then we are trying to respond to so many areas of needs right now, right? And emotional support is needed right now, but also access to a permanent residence.
What has personally kind of carried you through the year? What kept you going?
Oh, last year I was at the beginning, I was like very pessimistic. And but right now, despite that we still have the lots of problems, I am optimistic just to see the response from people, right? Like, people are like, when I saw that during the worst part of the pandemic, people who were working were the migrant workers. They didn't stop working. There are some people that lost their jobs, but quickly there was a recovery in terms of trying to get their jobs back. And when I see the optimism from the community, I get infected with optimism as well. And that is the most important thing that we have. And also, I'm thankful. I'm thankful because the community helped me going through COVID, and I had to return back that support that I got.
Thank you so much, Byron, for talking to us and sharing your story. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, David. Take care.
Bye-bye. And that was Byron Cruz. He's a street nurse in the downtown east side, works with Guattari Health Clinic, as well as an advocate with the Sanctuary Health Coalition.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.